Okay, thank you. Okay, just so everyone is aware that we're recording the meeting tonight, audio only, obviously. So we'll call the meeting to order. Pledge to the flag, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This is an EMS Advisory Committee meeting, 7:01 p.m., January 11th, 2023.
Okay. So this is the third meeting of the EMS Advisory Committee. We have three members present currently. I believe the fourth is en route on his way, but we have a quorum. Ron Sill, Jim Blaskowitz, and myself is Gary Parker. So first order of business is the public portion. Is there any members of the public wishing to speak? Any members of the public? Okay. But we have a review and discussion of the current EMS system. That's what our single agenda item is. So with that, so today we met with the storms in the first two meetings. We talked about how operations run currently, and we talked about their budgetary needs and their presentation that they have put forth to the tax board. We had open discussion regarding ways to improve, make things better. We're open discussion, so where do we want to go from here?
Well, I just wanted to come to talk about the mayor's scope and what he was looking for.
Okay.
And I think you had your preliminary stuff that you can now start to dive into.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing that, which is working with storms on formulating the business plan, how they want to move forward, and then budgets to go along with that, which would then incorporate, depending upon how they want to go, they can use the department or stay independent, basically. And then just develop budgets that fit them out, whatever the model is they want to choose. So a business plan is pretty straightforward, simple concept. The two most important things are the idea of laying out your budgets and demonstrating your financial viability in each of those budgets. And then if you're going to stay as an independent, then what funding you need to achieve your model and why. So you break out all your costs, you break out everything, and you basically look at it from that way. I realize that's not happening for this budget year. We're already getting our budgets in and everything. But we'd like to see that finished up so that next year we can confidently say we've got a plan. It's a workable plan we can move forward with. Because one of the things you don't want to have is you don't want to have a plan and then wind up with significant financing difficulties because the city just isn't in a position to routinely make those kinds of things up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where this all developed from was storms ran into some problems for a few years where they were losing money even as a 501c3. And when they came last year, they were looking initially for a $200,000 appropriation from the city, which the mayor couldn't give them. He gave them $150,000, and then the tax board even took some of that away, I believe. That's still, in my understanding, is there's still a reserve for that. If I remember right, they took away $25,000, and they put that either in the working balance or the special working balance. I don't remember where. So that's still there. If they have need, you can come back and ask for that. But that means you're up to 150, at least for the previous year. Did you already? I haven't looked for you
Yes. Well, this new year, yes, we sent that a preliminary budget. We weren't aware that usually budgets go in February, so we threw something together quickly, just as a place of discussion. So yes, that's where we are right now.
Okay. We moved everything forward because the mayor now is required to submit a budget by March 1st. Last year we scrambled like crazy to get that done. Right in Colombo, January, so we didn't even start. And then we had to go and get everything again. So we were asking for it to be done in December, available for January. I know there's still a few budgets that are outstanding. You guys wouldn't be the only ones.
No, we did something else. Like I said, we said we scrambled for something together.
Okay.
But again, just
what do you have for your preliminary numbers?
I don't recall.
The number we submitted was 300.
300,000?
Yes. And again, placeholder.
Yeah, I understand.
So, one of the things that we discussed, as I said, for the business plan wall, they don't call it that, but they really have one we looked at it. And they presented it to the tax board last year. So, I mean, they have pretty good handle on the call volume, of course, from by that generates the revenue. So they know what they have for potential income, and then, you know, the take off the what they don't collect from insurance, which is they collect the a collection is about a third, if I remember correctly.
Numbers. Yeah, we generally collect about 40%.
Okay.
The actual revenue.
I mean, again, it goes to a payer mix.
Yeah, it's 100% payer mix. Like we talked about
that's the higher end that you do from the outside, right?
No, that's billable calls. We bill at a specific rate, a state-approved rate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that.
80% of our calls are through fixed payer sources, Medicare, Medicaid.
Gotcha.
So the minimum we take is a 50%. It's Medicare, we take about a 40% haircut, and Medicaid, we take almost a 60% mark.
But right now, you operate kind of a hybrid model. You do some of your own thing, and then the city kicks in.
As far as, yes. So our revenue sources are billing, donations, and the city.
Right.
So revenue from billing hasn't been able to support operations fully. So that's what we
do. Right. No, I understand that. I remember that discussion from last time. Well, what I'm saying is, so in your hybrid model, there's still expenses that the city is paying above and beyond $300,000. For example,
yes.
You got a purchase of a new ambulance coming up tomorrow night, which probably gets approved. Good thing, no problem with that. But now that thing needs to be amortized out so that you can figure out the annual cost for that ambulance. And then you have, in addition to that, I assume in your budget at some point, you'll be putting in maintenance and repairs and things like that. You guys, I'm sure, know how long this thing is going to run before it starts running the big money.
But
it always does, right? I mean, at some point.
And that's part of their problem. It's been of recent years is maintenance costs of just keeping the ambulances on the road.
Right.
So in theory, a new ambulance, obviously that cost goes way down. It transfers to a cost of the ambulance, and you know the what happens is this is the result of when, as with the fire department, I'm going to put the fire department in here as well, is when vehicles get beyond the point of no return, they cost more money to fix than to keep on the road.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So
and in one sense, for the fire department, that's on the city. Because those are city vehicles,
right.
Responsible for maintenance,
right.
And so forth and so on. And so that should be part of the planned obsolescence, if you will, of the vehicles. If you're running a hybrid, then that obligation falls upon the storm. And so there has to be something in a five-year plan that shows that we're putting things aside to meet those obligations when they come back around.
Understood.
You know what I'm saying? And then,
at one time there was.
I'm sure. Listen. You
know, at one time there was the capital plan, actually, and there was a rotating process for taking things out of, you know, things aging and being put out of service and being put in place. That went away many years ago. And so we're now at a point where it went away. And, you know, years ago we sold pancakes to make the money to buy the ambulances. Well, as you've seen with the cost of the ambulance, you know, you can't sell enough pancakes anymore. You know, so it's basically, you know, falling back to us to say, hey, how do we keep this thing going?
But I think what you were getting at was the long-term plan. So if we successfully acquire an ambulance this year, the maintenance cost this year is going to be X amount versus 5 years.
Right, yeah. So in other words, the concept is you want to make sure that we're reliable for 5 years out. It's not really reasonable to go beyond that because things change too fast, okay?
I love the way you're thinking. Mm-hmm. I love that you're asking us to put that together. We tried, and immediately that tax board sees, you're going to have extra money? No, we'll take it out.
Yeah. Well, and then we can talk about other ways to take care of certain things. We put proposals before the ultimate, and we're happy to do it again once we get through budget season. But we talked about initiating what's called a non-lapsing capital account, okay? And what that allows you to do is put money in there that you're not spending this year, okay? So if you know that it's going to take, a guess, $400,000 to replace an ambulance, and you're going to run an ambulance for 10 years, let's say, before
10 or 15 is the average.
Okay, so there you go. So that's $40,000 a year that you have to start planning to put aside. Current budget doesn't allow that because the charter says that if you have an appropriated line item that you don't spend to go back to the jack the kettle fund. You can't do that with certain kinds of funds.
Correct.
And the capital fund is one of those. Then it allows you to plan out and to put money aside for future uses, which is what we need to start doing because our expenses have gotten out of time when we can just say, well, 1 year we'll just buy a new whatever, fill in the blank. I mean, fire trucks are, what, $1 million? Ambulances are 300 and some odd thousand. There's no more 1 year write a check kind of thing. You got to get in.
Yeah, the 1 year.
We do, and yes, yep, we're going to meet again this month. We tried to meet last month. We had a forum scheduled, but one of the was making a forum, but got called in on an emergency work, so we lost it. But we're going to have another one. I'm meeting with Charlie tomorrow before the opening.
We got the right people on here.
Make sure that we're moving forward with this for the month of January. Hopefully, it'll be two more meetings, and they can put a plan together, which will be for this year.
This year, meaning this fiscal year now, or the new one?
For the fiscal year that you're in, and then we'll be looking at what they're proposing for the next fiscal year.
That'd be great.
So they have plans for 4 or 5 years.
He has a spreadsheet with that kind of stuff on it. Oh. Yeah, and so that's part of the discussion as to how much is it, what is it going to be done. This year, you have some flexibility because you still have ARPA money. Even after everything that's on the agenda tomorrow night, including the ambulance, I think you're still going to have about $2,500,000 to spend. So that includes if you appropriate $500,000 for the garage and
fire trucks,
all of that's all in that. And I added the ambulance because the ambulance came in late yesterday. I don't remember the exact prices. 314 or 340?
385.
385.
None of those. Okay. But
we'll stay close enough.
Yeah. But the price that we had before the ambulance was $2,900,000 something. So take out, let's say, $400,000, just round number. So you're around 2.5 million.
I mean, I don't know what happened just a couple of years ago. It was lower.
But no, so this is ARPA.
No, but I mean with the analyst price of getting the
analyst. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Okay. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't around for that first fall, but everything is all set to go for tomorrow night. I don't think there'll be any problems with it. Ronnie asked me about preliminary, kind of like, what do we want to call
we
it?
We need a bid waiver.
Preliminary, yes, parliamentary kind of questions. Well, you do need a bid waiver.
Well, and it's a one of a kind item because there are none
available. Well, I always feel that any problem with a waiver. Ben was just asking, do we need to have it so that it's saying that you want to, you know, it says discussion.
Right. For a bid waiver, and then we can't do it.
Right. It says on the agenda, discussion and action. Action covers everything. You can do all the stuff. You can make it in one motion. I would prefer you did it in one motion. You can do it in two if somebody wants to be stickler about it. But there's no reason why that shouldn't be able to get done tomorrow night.
Okay. I don't think we have any problems.
I don't either.
No. I just didn't want any technicalities.
No, I understand. Well, there's only one attorney to object. If it's 8-1, it's 8-1. Claim victory and move on, right?
Bid waiver has to be unanimous.
Has to be unanimous. Well, if she doesn't want to waive the bid, then that's a different issue.
That's what I worry about.
If
I'm not worried about my idea when it comes to the bid waiver.
Yeah. Well, if that happens, do you have a time frame?
The vendor.
Yes, they're holding it for you. They're holding it for us until after the meeting tomorrow night.
That's
only
it.
Because there are 12 communities in New England
trying to get a buyer. Yeah.
Well, this is the only ambulance that's going to come up the line for 2 years.
Yeah.
So they're holding it only because the owner of the company actually lives in Shelton and has
valley
ties.
Sure.
And he said, look, there's nothing I'd like to see that my ambulance driving through the city of Derby. Mm-hmm. He said, because I drive through it all the time.
Right.
So I was like, okay. He said, he'll hold it for us until we can
get it. Tomorrow night. He said, until the 12th.
That's correct.
I would think they would be one of the biggest.
I am. Thanks, Tom.
Hey,
you don't want to stick around? You're welcome to stay.
Yeah, I'm going to go home and watch UConn basketball.
Okay.
Now that Gino's here. Later. Now that Gino's here, I can go. Everything's going to be okay.
All right. Have a good night.
I was at the City Hall big senior center meeting tonight.
Oh, I heard you resign.
No, I'm talking about the committee to find a
the
place.
Director down there. Going against on.
Yeah.
Well, no, she's not the bishop of another committee, so I'm a senior. She's already got it. Brandon went against on.
Yeah. Was here tomorrow night?
Yeah, Mark puts it
on his phone.
Says Zoom, man.
Guys, when you get in your 70s, you don't want to go out at night.
We'll find out someday.
You were just out.
Huh?
You're just out.
I know, that's why I got to go.
Because he walked.
Have a go.
So while Tom's out, so one of the other things we started to have a discussion about, depending on how the model looks whenever the reorganization or if whatever happens, if it goes to the city, what kind of infrastructure does that require of the city?
Well, if you want the city to, in effect, run the operation, then you're probably looking at having to absorb the cost of another person in the finance department. Who would take care of all the billing, all the receivables, all of that kind of stuff. That would be the major cost. And that's salaries probably around 52, 53 plus benefits.
Do you think it'd be one person just to do that?
But
I think you're going to need one.
Yeah,
there is no spare room in the finance department right now.
Spare room?
What right now?
We're down a couple players. We have a
company that does all of our billing.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very specialized, you know, insurance billing.
I mean, no, I think the city, I think this, the requirements of the city would be just the payroll if they ever went, if.
Well, if the city, the city is the agency, if you will, it's
going to. The staffing agency, yeah.
Then you got your staffing, however you do it. Whether you, if you hire an outside vendor now, the city could hire an outside vendor if that. But again, if you're bringing it in-house, you want to try to bring the expense down, right?
Well, that's so, that's the point.
So that's what you have. That's what you have to look at. What's,
I mean, they're paying the vendor 30 something bucks, right, an hour?
Well, the billing agency is based on collections.
No, no, no. I'm not talking about. I'm talking about the staff.
Staffing is 31 or 38.
But it's 30 over 30. The guys, employees, they get 20, right?
That's what staffing agents.
21.
Yeah. So all I'm saying is, the city took over that employment. We'd only be $20. It wouldn't be 30. Yeah. Yeah. Right.
So your comp, all that is covered through that fee.
Right, but if that went to the city,
well, you would still use the same agency, or you have to.
Well, we wouldn't use the agency because the city would pay. Basically, the employees are making $20 an hour, so the city would pay $20 an hour, save all the overhead costs.
You won't save the overhead because now you're responsible for all the benefits.
Yeah, but I don't think it's going to come to what, $32 or $33.
They're part-time.
Yeah, they're all.
No, per diem. Yeah, part-time.
1099 to W-2.
The only question I would have is when, and the only reason why I know is my wife does a lot through the hospital. When you guys bill the insurances, you have to do all the coding, right? Certain numbers or certain things.
That's a separate agency.
Yeah, so we have a staffing agency for personnel, and a billing agency that does all the.
Yeah, I'm talking about the billing. We're not talking about the billing agency.
No, not for the, not the insurance, not the medical billing agency.
Oh, okay, then I was on the wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you have both components to look at, right?
So in the scenario that the commissioner is talking about, what would, from the city standpoint, if there was a utopia and the city paid for the hired the EMTs, so the outlay wasn't $33 an hour, it was $20 an hour, $22 an hour, plus whatever payroll tax, and you know, say you need another part-time bookkeeper to manage the payroll, that kind of stuff. Would that be a viable model?
I don't think it's going to be cost-effective, but we would look at it. We'd have to do a study to see if we're going to save any money by doing it. Because if the city's just going to hire the same contractor, the only benefit then is that
all this contractor does is, you know, they handle the workers' comp liability and payroll tax on top of payroll. So,
and of course, they make something out of it.
Not doing it for free.
But the people that staff. That our staff there are Derby firemen and women already. So aren't they already covered under workman's comp and all that through the fire
volunteers?
As volunteers, they are.
I'm sorry?
The volunteers are Derby people. The paid people are not necessarily Derby people.
Correct.
Gino, might be the same people.
I got you.
A member of the Derby Fire Department may work for Northeast. Right. When he's working for Northeast, he's on their comp if he's volunteer for the Derby Fire Department.
So how many people that are staff or belong to the firehouse is what I was.
No, asking. They could.
Probably the majority.
Yes. So really, my question was: let's just say for argument's sake, it's 100%. When they're not working on the ambulance, they're firemen, right? They're covered under city workman's comp if they get hurt. Now they work on the ambulance. They're not covered under city workman's comp because we're paying the clearinghouse to pay it. But if we did it in-house as the city of Derby,
we'd own that.
We're already the city paying would own that. On that employee for city workman's
correct.
Comp. So what I'm trying to get at is, yes, we pay them 30 X amount of dollars an hour. If we bring it over to the city, it still might not be cost effective for us to go back to the same vendor
correct.
And pay them.
Correct.
Because we're already paying workman's comp on them.
We could probably get it cheaper than what we're paying them for.
You know? And yeah. You know what I mean? If we pull it and bring it underneath one shelf,
correct.
It might only be.
It's okay.
It
as Walt said, Walt said, you got to look at it, but I would think it would be cheaper. There's no claims.
That's going to take a little time.
Yeah, right.
That's why they're on the ambulance. They got band-aids for that.
I'm just speaking because I've had
of course
workers comp and heart hypertension stuff all this
time. Oh, yeah.
And the numbers are huge for that kind of stuff. So, but yeah, I mean,
down the road.
So it becomes a moot point.
Yeah, so that's good.
Movement fire apparatus, they're in a program called Sourcewell, which basically is a national consortium of municipalities and states. And the state of Connecticut's DAS accepts it as a bid waiver for.
Okay.
He's going to get the vendor number and give me a quick write up tomorrow.
Okay.
So you have it for the meeting.
Yeah, bring it with. Yep.
So
in fact,
that's good.
In fact, you should, when you get it, get it to him, and
I'll make sure I get it to Vin.
Yeah, but ahead of time so he can verify it.
Yeah. I'll get it to him first thing tomorrow.
Okay. As soon as I get it tomorrow,
yeah. Because the language in the charter isn't specific. It says another government entity. So technically, it doesn't even have to be Connecticut. It could be another state.
Well, but the state recognizes this specific list.
Because I understand.
Yeah.
Because that agency or that classification supersedes the
Okay. Yeah. Okay. You have any? You have anything else you want to talk about?
I appreciate Walt coming and explaining about the business plan. I think that's something we can do easily. And I think if nothing else, it'll help us accomplish the one thing my goal is. And I know Jimmy's been around as long as I have with this. And my father-in-law started it. I want to see this thing go on and perpetuate. That's all there is to it. I want to continue it. I want to work with the city so we can figure out how we can all make out better in this. That was what the original premise of the committee was going to be, is how we both work together.
Yeah.
But it's a very fluid, EMS changing dramatically.
All the time. And
just so
everybody
knows.
The little guys are getting eaten up all everywhere.
It's funny because we had a service chiefs meeting yesterday morning with Griffin. They pulled back on that.
Have it?
Yeah. And one of the things I said to him was, I've lived through one of these settings. Two by the same agency that they hired. All it has been is to force the paramedic service to take over the ambulance services. Mm-hmm. And the ambulance services have said, listen, we use paramedics less than 30% of the time. We use ambulances 100% of the time. Stop forcing the paramedic on us and let us give us some relief.
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
No, but we've been down these routes. Jimmy and I, especially, and even Danny, we've been down these works.
It's great, and I appreciate all of Eddie's efforts and everything. But I mean, at some point, they just become unfeasible. So.
Well, and that's something I think we can work around that. Mm-hmm. I definitely, I have no doubt in my mind. Because it's all, you know, at some point it gets to be scales of economies and all that kind of stuff. Understand when you're trying to run two ambulances at one time, that's a big nut, no matter what you're doing.
Our call volume this year is probably going to justify three.
Yeah,
that's
unbelievable. The call volumes in the valley have exploded.
Well, because COVID, we're aging.
COVID, the flu, aging, and the one thing that I got to ask you about this at another time, but substance abuse. We are getting bombarded with overdoses.
Yeah.
And one of the things, what do we do for overdoses? We get people narcotic.
Yeah.
Well, that's not cheap.
That's one of the.
And that's something that, you know, that's another thing that fits into the EMS model is now got to account for.
Sure.
That was one of the things that opened up my eyes to the ambulance. It's when we were working on the green over there, doing the memorial. I could not believe that both of them, you know, when both of them were run, it was like every time you turned around, you know, and I was shocked. I was not believed if I didn't see it. I was not there, you know what I mean?
Four calls Saturday morning.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah.
There was a day this past month where we were getting 19 ambulance calls.
And it had been probably eight of them came in all, well, an hour and a half.
Yeah, it's not unusual to have two, three calls at the same time.
One of the things they all they're all taking the same hit at the same time. That's what's happening.
Then you work in the mental health issues.
The therapist. Psychological therapists and all that.
I actually will talk to the Birmingham group about that. We're going to be getting cards that our people are going to hand out with a call to Birmingham, and we've shared the address data, which we can't share with Birmingham, so they know where the hotspots in the city are and where the potential substance abuse problems are.
Yeah.
And what's that for, like, overdose or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't think you'll have that.
No.
Well, the problem that you have is Germany's not the Derby. And when you have, you know, the high level of poverty, that brings with it certain other social issues that you got to deal with. And people who have a hard time coping, this is what they do. They turn to drugs, you know. And I can tell you from my work with the church, and the opiates, because those are the biggest thrills, the biggest highs, you know, all that kind of stuff. And the suppliers march them right up the chain, and it causes them to do all kinds of weird things that they wouldn't do in their right mind ever.
That first train in the morning, my buddy Jeff, he comes from Waterbury on the train, we pick him up at the train station. That whole first train, all methadone people called to the clinic.
Yeah, and I tried to talk to one person that we were helping who was on methadone for like 5 or 6 years. I said, you just changed your way of life all right.
Socially unacceptable
addiction for a socially
unacceptable. Now that we've legalized cannabis in this
city. Oh, man.
I could not believe when I saw the news about the like the gummy bear, the edibles, and all the kids that are eating it. Not like kids to get high, but like young kids by accident.
Going
to the emergency room. They had a thing on it the other night. That
was shot.
It's brainstorm is that. Yeah, you make
Bears
with the it's like, well, the kids aren't gonna
Right.
Where would the kids want to come?
Villa Bianca. They're looking to bring that back to a rehab center. I was gonna say that's where how that started up there. That's what it was, a living residential daytop.
They went hand in hand with World Heights.
It was that before it was a venue. Then it went all.
Did it get accepted?
I don't know. It's on the docket, I think. I don't know.
It's an ever-changing world for us.
Yeah, absolutely is.
Glad to be tomorrow night. You'll be there.
Yep. Yeah.
So the ambulance is good to go then for tomorrow?
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it's all set.
That's the last thing we needed. And delivery time is what, 1 month?
Less than a month. We have it in service in 2 weeks. And what we're going to do is, rather than buying all new stuff for the inside of the ambulance, strip it out of that. And take that and take it out of service.
Good with stretchers and stuff.
stretch it, the stretch them out. That's got to go. And then weathering, which we'll talk to the flash.
Yeah.
And then throw something on there for us. Put a ring service. Mark will do the radios.
Is FD-10 like completely, remember how we set that that ambulance supply model at that time?
Yeah, well, it could be.
Something like that?
Something like that, yeah. I mean,
good luck.
Wait, what's this going to be, the FD-10?
It'll be FD-10, yeah. We'll put a crucifix on the mirror and send it down.
Plastic Jesus. Yeah, plastic Jesus.
I think it was, I got to look at the picture, but I think it was the old FD-10 that you got rid of, right?
It was FD-9.
Or 9.
It was 9.
Imagine that full circle.
I mean, that chassis is, I mean, it's shot, but it's a heavy, international chassis.
Yeah. That was like in 2003 or something when we did that.
What do you guys do for outside sources besides the city?
As far as,
like, do you petition like the Valley Community Foundation for funds?
Yes.
Okay.
We got a grant last year for $10,000 for our boats, for water equipment, hypothermiuses that came out of it.
That's
cool. And we got that. We got repairs for the canopies.
But nothing towards ongoing kind of expenses.
No, they won't do that.
Yeah.
And I've been talking to the Valley Community Foundation. They hesitate to do that. They don't want to give out large grants.
Well, it's not only that. Then you have to come back to them every year to get it. That's not usually the problem.
They do it on a 3-year cycle. But
yeah,
you got
to
have.
You can go and say,
bring a couple of purchases.
We need X amount of money to buy this.
Yeah. Right. But they want you to bring it.
They don't want to get into it being part of an ongoing responsibility.
Right.
You know.
And they kind of pick and choose what they want to do and what they don't. So
yeah. I'm just trying to think of.
Well, listen, we've been to the Valley Community Foundation.
Matthews,
if there's a dime out there, you know, I'm retired. I'm going to go find it, just to keep it going. So,
they're still around the Matthews Foundation?
Yeah.
That's who gave us the money last year.
Yeah, but I was going to say, they tend to have the same kind of rules.
Yeah.
Most of the foundations do.
They all have to kind of.
They usually have a large number of grants, but they're all targeted.
Yes, exactly.
Well, and the focus.
The place that you might be able to get an ongoing contribution is from another agency or another, like, for example, if Griffin was looking to do something and keep the ambulance going, they could do it through giving a grant or a stipend every year. Kind of fits with their model. It kind of work.
But like $1 million for an armory.
What do you mean?
They gave out money to fix the armory.
Oh, did
gym
that
floor or something, right?
Oh, I don't know.
They didn't do the floor. I don't think they did the floor. Guys are walking up there every morning. Floors like this.
Really?
They don't like the wall.
No, but that's what he's right.
He's right. Grant or some type of money, $1 million to go towards something inside the armory.
Yeah.
It was
more general.
Yeah, but it was more something general like the floor. That's what they said it was going to do.
Yeah, good. And the hospital giving that money?
Yeah. Well,
the hospital that's either.
Oh, yeah, so,
that doesn't pay
yeah.
me any tax.
Huh?
Oh, no.
So, anyways, there was anything else for the meeting tonight? Or?
No. We can start.
There's no other.
Yeah.
And if you want to.
I'll help you with whatever you need help with. It's not a big deal as far as doing that. I just want to make sure that, you know, we're getting it all out so everybody knows what all the costs are associated with it. Because like I know.
We chart that very carefully.
Well, no, you chart your costs.
300 line spreadsheet.
Understandable.
And then on top of that, you have whatever the city's contributions are. So like I was trying to figure out, who pays your liability insurance? Do you guys pay it or do we pay it?
The city pays the insurance.
City pays the insurance. So that's a cost. Who pays the utilities on the...
We pay for the ambulance bay and we pay for the Hawkins Street program.
Okay. So that comes out of your budget that you normally do.
Now, I'm going to just say this. Not one other volunteer company in the city pays for the utilities. Okay, this place, the big assets, the East End, and they're all incorporated separate from the city.
Yeah.
As agencies. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the city pays the utilities.
Yeah, but these are city buildings, though. These are city-owned buildings.
Oh, the stores are city buildings.
Yeah. So are ours.
The only difference you could make is that the ambulance corps exists as a private enterprise, not the fire department, for sure.
Well, yes, they do. Each one of the companies is incorporated.
I understand that. They're 501c3s.
Right.
Right.
But this, if you look at the city charter for the fire department, there's only four members of the fire department. There's the chiefs. There's the fire marshal. Although he's separate now.
So fire marshal.
He's separate now. So each one of these companies is operating in a city building that the city's paying. Yet we're operating in the same fashion, and the city's not paying for us. How's that?
But they're not a revenue generation.
And we should be even recognized because we are.
Well.
We're the only emergency service in the city of Derby that actually gets reimbursed for more than half of what our costs are. Does the fire department make any money?
No, of course not.
Okay. Police department?
No.
100% losses.
Right. How about the EMS? Half to three quarters of what we do, we bring the revenue in for. Okay. Yet we pay more than the other agencies that aren't generating any revenue.
That is right. But it's on paper.
So, but the alternative is far more expensive.
I'm not arguing that point. Yeah. I'm just saying
that
it's true.
And I think as we bring the business model forward, especially Banky's presentation, it makes it very clear.
Yeah, I mean, it does. And again, don't take that as a pitch about something.
No, I'm not.
It's just the way it is. You start looking at it.
That's what this is for.
You start seeing what we get and what we generate and what we basically cobble together so we can function. And, it's pretty lopsided. So, we're going to make it work.
I've always said that the firehouses are the union halls for the fire department. That's what they are.
That blue table in the firehouse is where all the grievances are
stored. Yeah, yeah.
Motion to adjourn, 7:43.
The motion second?
Yes, second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? So, meeting adjourned. Mark, believe in the meeting. 7:43.
Okay.